The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So how are we making it not having God to order our steps? How are we even making it without having a personal relationship with God if He's the one that orders our steps? And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe me, just look at where you are so far without God. The greatest position you can be in as a Christian is to learn how to enter into that confident rest, that boldness that says, I am Christ confident. I am Christ confident. I am confident that Christ did it all. I am confident that healing is finished, deliverance is finished. I am confident that whatever I need that pertains to life and godliness has already been done. I'm confident in that.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. Last week, we talked about entering into the rest. We've been talking about empowered to rest. And if it's one thing the enemy wants to do is to try to get you stressed, worried, and full of care. Because if you are walking around stressed, worried, and full of care, then you are stopping God, in a sense, from taking care of those things that you're walking around stressed, worried, and full of care about. And so one of the greatest levels of faith, and I believe it is the greatest level of faith, is when you can rest in what Jesus has already done, when you can rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ and have confidence, say that word confidence, and have confidence in what He's already done, then you're going to see manifestations like you've never seen before. We've just got to convince you that you need God and that what you do on your own is not going to be enough for you to see manifestations in your life. Say out loud, God, I need you.
I need you.
Every second,
every minute,
every hour,
every day,
every week,
every month,
every year,
I need you.
When that can become a reality in your life, where you know that you need God and you don't dare proceed to try to do anything without Him, then that's when you will get yourself in a place of humility where God Almighty will be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now, James chapter 4, and I want to begin this morning verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, James chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Boy, isn't that the truth? You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know, what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think that's a reality people need to understand. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I need to trust in something so much bigger than myself. He says, and he talks about life being like vapor. Now, if you've ever seen vapor, it's there for a moment. It's gone. And he says, that's what your life is like. Verse 15, for that you ought to say, since you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, since you don't know some things that are going to be going, he says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If the Lord's will, we know God's will is the word of God. I'm not talking about that will. We don't have to ask about that. I know it's God's will for me to be healed. I know it's God's will for me to be delivered. I know it's God's will for me to be set free. I understand all those things. But I want to make sure that, you say, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'll say, praise God, if it's God's will, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I had relatives always will say, well, if God's will, I'll see you next week, praise God. And he goes on here to say, and I think what he's saying here is basically, who are you to say you're going to be here or there? We need God to guide us. Amen. I said, we need God to guide us. Look at Jeremiah 11 real quick. Jeremiah 11 and verse 23. I think we have to understand the importance of having God in our life. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Look at this closely. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to know his way. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So if it's not in you to know your way, and if it's not in you to direct your steps, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So how are we making it not having God to order our steps? How are we even making it without having a personal relationship with God if he's the one that orders our steps? And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe me, just look at where you are so far without God. You just don't want to waste time in this life it being like a vapor and you're trying to determine your own steps without God. You're trying to determine your own way without God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need God. Why? Because you're going to get your steps from him. You're going to get your ways from him. He's going to begin to lead you, and he's going to begin to guide you. He's going to begin to show you what to do. And there's nothing like being in the destination where God has led you to and God has guided you to. One of the most frustrating things in the world is to be somewhere you're not supposed to be, doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, you need God. If there's depression and people feel bad, maybe you need to ask God, am I doing what you called me to do? Am I where you wanted me to be? Sometimes we keep fighting against something to try to make it happen, and that's not where God wants you to be. So that's the time to fall on your bended knees and get in the closet somewhere and close the door and say, Lord, help me. I'm lost. Give me directions and show me where you want me to be. How many of you know you're going to have to humble yourself to do that? See, what's happened somehow in the world, we've gotten this thing that says, well, you know, I don't need God in my life. I already know what, watch this, I want to do, and I already know what I want to be, and you're not asking God. You're not asking God. One of the worst times in my life was when I was trying to accomplish this particular task in football, and that's not what God wanted me to do. And it seemed like once I got to the college level, the harder I tried, crazy stuff would happen. That's not what he wanted me to do, because God knew and I knew. Had I made it, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be a married man. I wouldn't have no children. I'd probably be a player. I'm just being honest with you. But I'm telling you, God knows how to introduce spiritual bumpers that'll bump you in the places where you need to be. Somebody says, are you saying that was God and not the devil? I don't know who it was, but I am grateful, because sometimes God will back up and let certain things happen that he know will bump you in certain places. I am grateful for whatever God did to get me to the place where I was called to be, a place. I can't be no happier. I mean, I know a lot of folks talk, a lot of persecution, but when you're in the right place, you can handle all of that stuff that comes your way because you're covered by his wings. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, get in the right place. But you need his directions. You need his direction. You need his ways. And he's ordered your steps, praise God. And let me tell you something, it's not too late. Some of you think, well, it's too late for me. No, it's not. Honey, you can be 70 years old and the Lord still has need of thee. You don't believe me? What was Moses was like, what, 80 before he got started? God knows your steps, praise the Lord. And I don't care if you're 40 or 80, he still has an anointing that if you'll receive it, that anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes and get you to where you need to be. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that we're about to find the will of God for our lives. Hallelujah. And when you find the will of God, you'll find everything you've been looking for. When you find the will of God, you'll get that husband or that wife. When you find the will of God, you'll prosper. When you find the will of God, you'll be in peace. When you find the will of God, you'll sleep. Praise God, because you're in his perfect will. Hallelujah. You see, for man to try to improve himself by his own effort, it's like I said before, it's like improving from being a mouse to a rat. You still got the same level of life, because you cannot produce God kind of results unless God is working. How many want God kind of results? Well, God's got to be working. You see, you can only produce man kind of results because you are working. That's the problem. You're working without God. And you're only going to produce man kind of results because you're working. Now, if God is working for you and through you, then he will be, then it'll be a God kind of results that's operating in your life. Now, listen to this next statement. It jacked me up when I saw this yesterday. People who are confident in themselves and not in God only last but so long. People who are confident in themselves and not in God only last but so long. You end up in failure. Yes, you should be confident, but we've got to address confident in who? Yourself or God? You see, you'll be confident in yourself. You'll be confident in the God that's in yourself. But we need God, amen? I said we need God, amen? I said we need God, amen? Amen? And we need to let God know we need him. Come on, God, we need you. I've come to understand that when I am at rest, when I have my confidence in what Jesus has already done, then God is working for me. But when I have confidence in myself and in my abilities and not in him, I look back and I see God's resting. Now, why is God resting when I start working and having confidence in me? Because he's a gentleman. He ain't gonna make you do nothing or have nothing or get nowhere. If you want God working for you, how many of you want God working for you? Then you're going to have to learn how to rest and have confidence in him. Because as long as you are having confidence in yourself, as long as you're working, God is resting. But when you rest, God will work. You cannot afford for God not to be working for you in these days and times. So you need to learn how to rest so he can work. No wonder he loves when we go to sleep. He can finally get something done. I showed you this in an earlier part of this series. Let's look at it again. There's something that happens when you step into that promised land that was promised. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and 1 real quick. I just believe that God right now wants to do super abundantly more than what you can ask or think. But you got to start seeing him as the source of your supply. You've got to learn how to rest in him. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and 1, he says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into this rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, once again, that word fear means let's be cautious. Let's be aware. Let's be diligent so that we won't miss out on entering into that promise. There's a promise that's been left. That's a promise that's been left. We don't want to not step into the promise. We want to step into that promise. There's a promise of healing that's been left. We want to step into that promise. We want to step into that promise. But it says, let us therefore fear, or let us be cautious, aware, and diligent, lest the promise being left us entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, there's a promise that happened. There's a promise that if we'll enter into his rest, then all of the finished works will enter into our life. I want to step into that rest. I want to step into that confidence. I want to step into the assurance of the finished works of Jesus Christ. You know, there's just some believers that just can't believe that it's finished. They can't believe that when the doctor sees sickness, that healing's already been provided. They can't believe that when they have lack in their life, that abundance has already been provided. They just can't see that. And that's why, you know, you won't enter into that rest and you'll go to try to work and to get it to happen. And you just can't see how that's so. I mean, how can I expect something from God without me working to earn it? That's the issue. That's what religion has taught us, that you're going to have to do something to make God give it to you, make God do it for you. That's not how this works, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest position you can be in as a Christian is to learn how to enter into that confident rest, that boldness that says, I am Christ confident. I am Christ confident. I am confident that Christ did it all. I am confident that healing is finished, deliverance is finished. I am confident that whatever I need that pertains to life and godliness has already been done. I'm confident in that. But I got to step into that rest. Let me show you again what I'm talking about. Look at Joshua chapter 24. I want to look at two books because I want you to know it's in there. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13. And when you see this in Joshua 24, I want you to take note that he is saying something is already done without you having to do it. Verse 13, he says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor. And I gave you cities which you built not. You dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not, do you eat of. Now notice what happened without your labor. He says, I gave you lands you did not labor for. What did you do to get the land? His grace, his unmerited favor, gave you what you did not work for. Oh, glory. He says, I gave you cities you didn't even build. Your labor was not required. But through my grace, I gave it to you. I gave you vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Your labor was not required. Your rest was required, but your labor was not required. He says, but I gave it to you anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will step into what I'm talking to you about, you're going to start stepping into things you didn't labor to get. I'm talking about supernatural things that are about to happen that when they happen, you're going to say, I didn't even do nothing to try to make that happen. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I didn't. Houses that are already built. Watch this. Houses that are already built to your specifications. Jobs that have already been established, and everything in your life has prepared you for that job. I know a man who became an engineer and never went to school to be the engineer, but when he got there, God put him in a place that he did not labor to get to that place. I'm telling you, what is it that is on the line that God's already made ready for you, but you don't enter into it because you're trying to work for something he's already worked it out? I like the part of the song that said, why are you trying to figure out? God already worked it out. If I can get you to believe that, there are some things in this life that God wants to put into your hands without your labor. So now we're at the issue of, but can you believe it? I can. In fact, I won't get satisfied where I am right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Praise the Lord. And that's what they're going to say about you. They're going to look at your life and say, Lord have mercy. It look like you just keep getting better and better. You're going to be like wine that somebody hid under the sink. Glory be to God. You might be under the sink, but you're going to get better and better and better. I'm telling you, there are some things that you used to dream about, wondering how you were going to ever walk in it, wondering how you were going to ever obtain it. And I'm telling you, while you're resting in the comfort of his loving arms, and while you're walking and believing and having confidence in his word, God is rearranging some things around you. He's playing spiritual chess, and he's putting some things on this side, and putting some things on that side, and bringing some things up the road right here. If you will trust him, you will see. Turn to your name and say, if you trust him, you will see. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Lord have mercy. Our relationship has really got pretty simple. Trust the Lord. It goes all the way back to what your grandmama used to tell you. Trust the Lord, baby. It'll be all right. Just trust him. Lean on him, baby. Lean on him. You ought to lean on Jesus. Lean on him. You ought to lean. No, I'm just making it up. I'm just saying we already had the answer. We already had the answer. It's not complicated. You don't need to know the two Greek words here and the other Hebrew word there. All you need to know is there is a God and he loves you. And if you'll trust him, he will take care of you and he will make everything all right. My concern is you might be too smart to understand this simple message. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 10. It says the same thing. Oh, praise God. And it shall be. Oh, that's a powerful word. I just felt that. Somebody shout, it shall be. Well, if I had time, I could preach on that. It shall be. Doctor said, you sick. Oh, it shall be healing. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. Oh, hallelujah. It shall be. Some of y'all need to take some it shall be home with you today. Hallelujah. The bill, it shall be paid. The children, it shall be all right. I don't care what is going on in your life. When you trust in God, it shall be. Now let me go and finish the sentence. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not. You didn't fill it, but God said it's full of all good things. Oh, I got to believe that for somebody who believe in, I got to agree with you right now. That if anybody can do it, your God can. I'm going to give you wells digged, which thou diggest not. Taffy and I got a well we didn't dig. In fact, we got a well we didn't dig. We didn't even know we had a well. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. He says, only thing I'm asking now, beware lest thou forget the Lord. He says, all I'm asking is, when it happens, don't forget me. Don't forget Jehovah. Don't forget God. Call your mom up and tell him who did it for you. Call your friend up and tell him, look at what God has done. Call up your co-workers and say, honey, look at what the Lord has caused to come into my hands. I believe something mighty happens when you give God the praise and the glory for everything he does in your life. When you get a parking space up close, when you go to Walmart, you need to get out the car and say, Lord, have mercy. Look at what the Lord did here. Y'all better help me right now. You better learn how to praise the Lord. When you can't figure it out somehow, you just got to praise God. That God has made everything all right. I got to thank him anyway. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I know God knows. My steps are ordered of the Lord.